Yeah. How are we doing this morning out there? Good morning, Nashville. I am the coach, and this is a coach that's out of breath this morning on the Leading Sports Talk Show. Guys, the fastest 60 minutes in sports sponsored by Nashville Toyota North. I just walked in here within the last 10 seconds, and I am not lying, am I, gentlemen?
And no, you're not.
He's sleeping.
I've never seen Coach run like that.
Yeah, I haven't either. Flashbacks here, guys. But, I'll just be honest with you. Like, I've never seen potholes as big as cars, okay? That's something.
That's true. So,
and how does that happen? I mean, I'm cruising. I'm just minding my own business, you know, worshiping the Lord and singing and just joyful today to come be a part of the show. And
boom.
And I'm like, what was that? Yeah. You know, and fortunately, I have run flats on my ride, so that saved me. But I'm here. I'm ready to go. And how are you guys doing this morning?
Great, Coach.
Good.
Great.
Good.
Doing
good.
Good. Excited
a lot,
about
a lot to talk about today. Whole lot, Coach.
Boy, there is a lot to talk about. And you know, I also had another challenge this morning just to share. I mean, we all have challenges, right?
Every morning.
So I'm, again, just minding my own business, just happy-go-lucky. I'm backing out of my driveway, out of the garage. Garage door's up. I back out. Bird flies into garage.
Oh, man. I've had this
sure happened. I've never had that happen before. I've never seen that happen. I don't think there's any birds alive out in Southern California where I'm from. I think the smog has gotten to them, so that's never happened to me. But so I'm like, doggone it, and I started closing the garage door, and I saw that poor little thing flying around up there and through the windows. You can look into the garage, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to help this guy.
And that's the hardest thing to do is to help him, because if you try to help him, it scares him.
It does.
And it sends him in a panic. You're like, I'm making things a little worse than making them better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was evil. I'll just be honest with you. That bird was pure evil and needs a savior. So, Lord. So, anyway, we are here. We got a lot to talk about today in this sports world. I have Todd Marinovich, who some of you may remember him from the late 80s, early 90s. He was a rising high school star at Mater Dei. Yeah, Bryce Young went to Mater Dei. So Matt Barkley went to Mater Dei out there in Orange County. Right. So he's going to be a very special guest today, and I'm looking forward to this interview to see kind of what went wrong with his career. Is he, you know, a lot went right. He ended up being a first-round draft pick of the then Los Angeles Raiders. And so we're going to talk to him about life and life struggles and where he's at now. And today it's going to be a lot of fun with him. But I want to start out. Let's start out with the NBA, guys. Mm. And I'm telling you right now, I've learned a word. There's one word that I've learned watching these playoffs. Okay.
And that is?
That word is consistency. Mm. Actually, it's two words. Actually, it's one word and you add an I in at the beginning.
Correct.
Consistency and inconsistency. You know, I'm watching this and I want to hear what your thoughts on the Denver Lakers series. And honestly, either one of those two teams could have won either one of those two games. The Denver Nuggets are up 2-0. And you know, I'm watching the Lakers. I'm a Lakers fan. You know, I'm a homer with the Lakers. But I'm telling you what, that series is just consistent. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have players that are playing consistent. You have players that are stepping up in certain roles. You have lucky shots. Sorry, did I say lucky shots? Lucky. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have some – when you got Jokic just throwing a ball up from Never Never Land and draining threes. I mean, and Jamal Murray is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And like I said on the show last week, I'm like, I've never sat down and thought, man, I really want to sit down and watch a Denver Nuggets game. Have any of you? I mean, no. We talked about it. No.
The West Coast.
Yeah.
West Coast games, which, you know, that comes on late here.
Sure.
By us being Central Time. But Murray, he struggled the first half of that game.
He did.
But the third and fourth quarter, wow.
Yeah, there's the two series that are going on right now. The one word is the consistency and inconsistency. You know, I'm watching the Lakers in Denver, and I mean, I come back to L.A. L.A.'s a 5.5-point favorite and probably going to win the game. You know, it seems like the teams that are the home court, that they just have a tendency to win the game, you know. And I expect the Lakers to do the same thing. I'm watching a Laker team that's a little tired, guys. Have you noticed that?
Yep,
I mean they're getting the, just my opinion. I mean LeBron, is LeBron, but LeBron is not the LeBron of 10 years ago. And the Lakers look a little bit worn out comparatively. Now, that could be, guys, that the Denver Nuggets have had the home cooking and they're energized. Sure. It could be just that that's what we're seeing. I don't think that's what it is, but we'll find out here as the Lakers and Nuggets get ready to go after each other. And that's a consistent series. That's a consistent series that I think is going to go 7 games. You go to the other side in the Eastern Conference, and we look at the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Yeah. What do you got to say about the Heat, guys? How many different words? What do we say?
Coach, what did I tell you last week?
Heat?
I tell you, baby. I told you, man. Give me that snack piece.
Jimmy Buckets, Jimmy Butler, whatever. I mean, Jimmy everything, Jimmy playoffs.
Snack, baby.
Yeah,
Jimmy
I mean.
Snack.
They're playing inspired basketball.
Yeah. They are.
And it shows. It shows. I mean, I think they're taking the underdog role and they're running with it. And I think it's fueling their desire to show the NBA world that, hey, you know, we're here. And they have the best coach, no doubt.
We talked about that,
At all the coaches that are still currently in the playoffs.
No doubt.
He's underrated just like the team.
Sure.
He doesn't get a lot of credit, but he's a good coach.
He is a good coach, and that's when I said the word consistency, inconsistency, some guys have lost their jobs. Doc Rivers just lost his job with the 76ers. And the fact is, and this is a fact, that he's the worst series, Game 7 series coach ever. I mean, he's not good. He's gone. Of course, 76ers now without a coach, you know, do they go with Harden? But back to the Miami Heat, I mean, that's my word, consistency for them.
Correct.
You know, where on the other hand, I said this a couple weeks ago, listen to me, Boston Celtics, their coach looks like he's way in over his head.
Frustrated.
It is. I mean, it's just, and then you see, how does your star player for the Celtics go an entire quarter and not score a point?
He's tired.
Mental breakdown.
How can you? He can't be tired.
I think he's carried. He's carried Boston. Remember, I told you guys a couple shows that I thought really he should be the MVP of the league. I know Embiid is a good player,
right.
But if you look at Tatum, they only have really a 2-man team. Okay.
Him and Brown.
That's it. I mean, the other guys play their role, which is really good.
Yeah,
you got Al. Is it Horford? Al Horford.
Al Horford. He's 36 years old. He's not gonna bring anything to the table.
He played on the floor.
It doesn't help if Grant talks crazy to the. Grant spurred this loss to me because Grant started talking with 9 minutes left in the game, and he just started talking. And
Shaq said barbecue chicken.
That what he said?
That was Shaq.
Oh boy.
Yeah, he inspired. I think he inspired Jimmy. He started talking, and
Jimmy's been playing inspired basketball the whole.
Yes,
since
he has.
The playoff start.
He has. So, I watched him just say the other day he was standing up in an interview, and he basically said, "We don't care what any of you people say. I mean, in the media, the press, anybody. We don't care. We know what we've got. We know who we are." And that's where your consistency comes from, I think. You know, he's a leader. You know, we talked about this before where, you know, as we were talking about the Memphis Grizzlies and them finishing a 2 seed, well, who's their leader? Nobody, okay? They don't have a leader. The teams that are left in the playoffs, and I struggle to say this, but I don't see Boston has a leader right now. I don't see how you can go 15. I don't see how you could go a fourth quarter and not score a point and you're the best player on the court. Because you know why? He's not the best player on the court. Jimmy Butler is.
I agree.
And the Miami Heat are the better team, and they're up 2-0, and they're going to go down to Miami, and that place is going to be rocking, and all the stars are going to be out in a similar way like in L.A., and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens if Boston can turn around. Can Boston turn it around? Can the Celtics get it together? Can the coach say, look, let's play this, do this? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they can at this point.
I think Miami sits in a good place right now, being 2-0. Only thing you got to do now is go home and split.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you took both games in Boston.
Yeah.
So if you split, of course, you know, game 6 is going to be back at your home. So I just think right now it's going to be really hard for Boston to run off 4 wins.
You ever been in Miami, man? You ever been down Miami?
Yeah, I have.
They got a Walmart right close to where they at.
They got a Walmart.
They going to get that broom and sweep it, guy.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm not going to go with a sweep. I'm definitely going to say Butler, I'm going to say at least six. The way that he's playing, I'm going to say six.
I'm going to tell you, if they get swept, Boston Celtics needs to fire the coach. Period.
You're firing everybody else.
I mean, might as well. Everybody else is firing everybody else. But I'm just telling you, if you get swept, if you get – listen.
He's a rookie coach.
Listen, here's the thing, though. Listen, Miami Heat – were still an 8 seed. I'm just telling you that. They barely made it into the playoffs. We still have to remember. Okay, I know teams get on runs in playoffs. Mm-hmm. I get it. But overall, who's supposed to be the better team? The Boston Celtics are supposed to be a better team. And for some reason, we're not in that locker room. We're not in those meetings. But from the outside looking in, the Boston Celtics are not who they were throughout the season. And I watched them throughout the season. Okay, yeah. And they were dominant most of the time. Well, of course, I mean, and only one team better than them was Milwaukee.
True.
Where's Milwaukee?
Eliminated.
Gone.
Looking for a new coach.
I mean, you got a seven. And listen, our NBA championship could be between a 7 seed and an 8 seed. A 7 seed and an 8 seed can be in the championship. But how interesting would it be to watch Jimmy Buckets and LeBron and that whole cast in Miami and going back and forth from Miami and L.A. and, oh, man, I mean, you tell me about some fun.
Yeah.
That would be some fun for me. And I'm just excited about the finals. I'm excited about sports. I mean, we talk hockey. I mean, you hockey fans out there are getting some of the greatest games with the OT games. I mean, was it four overtime games the other night?
Yes. Four. Mm-hmm.
Four. Mm-hmm. Listen, hockey to me, I've never played hockey. I mean, I remember my dad was stationed up at Wurtsmith Air Force Base in Michigan, Oscoda, Michigan. And I remember we used to go out in that snow, be all deep, and we'd get it gone in the backyard, and then we'd spray down – spray it down and turn it into a little ice skating rink because I figured I was going to be a famous skater someday at some point in my young childhood.
Well, in Chicago, we couldn't wait. We played on concrete.
Just played on concrete. Right.
We played on concrete, man.
Right. So, I mean, I remember those days. But listen, that's a tough sport, hockey is. I mean, to watch these guys move and maneuver, and it's upper body too, but it's just really all legs. Yeah. And watch it, four overtime games? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then you got to come back probably, what, 2 nights later and play again?
Yeah.
Shoot. I mean, that hockey, hands out, I mean, props out to all hockey fans and anybody that still plays hockey. Man, that sport is a wonderful sport. And, yes, I am an LA Kings fan. But I'm also a Predators fan because I live here now. So I'm excited about the Preds. You know, one other thing that happened that we have to talk about, gentlemen, is the passing of Jim Brown. And, you know, I don't ever remember physically being able to watch him play on TV. I don't remember seeing him on TV. You know, I just watched video, video of him and then just the activism that he's had throughout his life. You know, even becoming an actor, actually, which was interesting to me. You know, some athletes end up doing that. But for me, I just remember a soft-spoken Jim Brown that I personally never saw an angry, man at anything.
No.
You know, he's a lot of people that are, very, activist-type people.
Correct.
You know, anger and violence, but you never saw that out of him. And then on the football field, you did see violence.
Yes.
I mean, he was a violent football player. And, I mean, to compare, and then I'd like to hear you guys' thoughts on this, but for me, there really isn't somebody like him anymore. I mean, I remember, you can go back to Earl Campbell days with the Houston Oilers, maybe, and you can go to Kansas City and Christian Okoye, maybe.
Ooh, yeah.
There's just a couple off the top of my head that I'm just thinking about. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch, But when you think about him modern day, I know Titans fans, he reminds me a lot of Derrick Henry. So what are your thoughts on Jim Brown, his life, his legacy, and as the football player?
Well, he's the epitome of what a running back is. Speed, size.
Punishment.
Yeah, he didn't just take a hit, and that's what I like about him. He'd take a hit and keep going through. He kept going forward. Yeah. I never saw him going backward.
I never did either. He was a bruiser, like you said.
Yes.
It was funny to watch him see the old clips. You know, he runs the ball hard, violent. Then he gets tackled. He gets up slow, walks slow back to the huddle.
No, and you're coming back.
Coming right back at you.
Harder.
Yeah. And if I'm correct, my memory serves me correct, Greg, I think he was a fullback.
I don't know if he was listed as such. Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, could have been. His size.
Yeah, he was a back.
He was a back.
He was
a back. So I mean, and he's one of the early guys, you know, early activists that got some of today's guys involved in activism. So, you know, hats off to him, man. I mean, we definitely lost an all-time
trooper.
Yeah, a legend of the game,
man. Yeah, I mean, he just, I mean, you know, you miss those guys, and then you know, I don't know if we ever, if you think about this just in a general sense, I don't know if we ever really appreciate people like him and others while they're here enough.
Right.
You know, we always memorialize people after they're gone and say things like we're saying right now. But I don't know. I think we need to, in the sports world I'm talking, just in general, right? I'm just saying we need to still honor and speak on some of these great heroes of the past in terms of athletes. And I think that's an important thing that we need to do, guys. I mean,
and NBA has done a great job. They've named some of their awards after some of the greats.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So, you know, rest in peace. And, you know, we still have all the videos that we can watch of Jim Brown just, you know, running over people. And again, modern day for me is very reminiscent of Derrick Henry. I can't think of anybody else that big. And anyway, hey, but exciting sports stuff going on, man. I'm telling you, I am jacked for the NBA finals and the playoffs to continue to go on. It's very intriguing to me. And I'm also jacked up and excited. Yes, I did have a Mountain Dew before I got here. I had one of my wife's been buying the little mini can. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I don't know why do those taste so good? I mean, they're just a little mini can, and it only takes like two sips and it's gone. Other than that, but I don't
think
know.
It's more concentrated.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what it is, but I know one thing that we do have, guys. We've got Todd Marinovich is on the line with us, guys, and I'm so excited to have him on. I've spent some time really getting to know him this week and know of his athleticism, of course, and everything he's done in terms of football, but. I'll tell you, Todd, are you there? How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Boy, it is
good morning.
Good morning.
Todd. Good morning.
Welcome, Todd.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. Hey, Todd, what time is it out there in Hawaii?
The time is now, Greg.
I'll answer the question for you. It is 2:18 a.m.,
wow.
Gentlemen.
Wow.
2:18 a.m. Hey, Nick, the producer here as well. Hey, Nick, I think we've set a record for sports talk shows to where last week we had Darren Carrington on at 5:15 a.m. San Diego time, and now we have Todd. Todd, I think you've set the record. Nobody's going to break it. So congratulations. We'll send you a plaque and a trophy.
Well, the miracle is I haven't been up all night.
That's a good thing.
I actually went to sleep last night and woke up this morning to be with you guys, and couldn't be more stoked.
Yeah, and I am too, Todd. And you know, I'm going to just briefly going over your career. You know, going to modern day and you know, following really in the likes of really you were pre quarterbacks that went through there and of great quarterbacks. And you know, Matt Leiner went there, Matt Barkley, obviously mentioning some USC Trojans. There you go, fight on. Then Bryce Young, you know, the number one draft pick in the NFL this year. Coming out of there, and then a game I was at, guys, I don't know if you know this, and by the way, we've got Sedge over here, we've got Victor, and then I've got the Encyclopedia of Sports that is Randall, Tennessee State. Woo, woo, Tigers.
Go Tigers.
I was at the game. You went to USC, had a great career there, and in 1990 won the Rose Bowl there against Bo Schembechler, Michigan, University of Michigan, Bo Schembechler's last game. I was at that game. And I was a big Todd Marinovich fan then, so was my son. And you know, then your first round draft pick, Los Angeles Raiders, and, you know, a very unorthodox upbringing, if you will. That's just one word that I thought of, Todd, to get to that point. So, you know, it's well documented through the ESPN show and the Marinovich Project of your upbringing, and that really just shortly after birth, your father, Marv, started trying to develop you to become an NFL quarterback. Tell us about that. What was that like?
Well, you were pretty accurate until the end there with your description, and it's hard to describe my life in a couple of sentences, but well done, Craig.
Thank you.
My dad wasn't necessarily trying to create an NFL quarterback. He was just trying to create the best athletes he could. And I played all three growing up, and that was super fun. And I encourage parents. It seems like today parents have also a goal in mind, and they want to be really specific and are encouraging their kids just to focus on one sport. And I disagree. Basketball was my very first love, and I think it's that sport is the greatest at developing athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've played with some great players, and it seems to me like the best receivers are tied in are the ones that were multi-sport guys, and basketball was usually that sport that if you could play basketball, you can definitely play football if you were tough enough. That was the one trait that is needed in football, obviously.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. No doubt. Antonio Gates is a good example of that coming out of Kent State.
Yeah.
And then
Tony Gonzalez.
You know, Tony Gonzalez is another one.
Yeah, I love the tight end. Being a quarterback, it was just the easier throw. It makes sense that the guy closest to you lining up, and if he has a feel for, like, posting a guy up, that's really all he's doing as a tight end is posting a linebacker or a safety up. And then if you're accurate and you can place the ball, it's really an unfair advantage. So, I love the tight end and loved Antonio Gates. And let's just say I loved the Chargers back in the day with
Mr. Chargers.
Hey, man, I've got my Quicksilver flip-flops on. I got my Chargers shorts on. I got my Charger hoodie on this morning. So, my man, I like it. I like it.
And it's raining outside, man.
And you played with Junior Seau. He was one of my favorite players of all time. He's eventually going to go in my Wall of Fame up in my sports lounge. So, I'm excited eventually to have a nice jersey of him. And but, you know, when we talk about, you know, Sports Illustrated and the articles, and then, you know, I think that, you know, nowadays we're developing these youth and these high school athletes differently. Everybody's labeled with a star. But back when you were young and you were developing, it was considered a little extreme, if you will, and they labeled you the, you know, robo quarterback and the test tube quarterback. And I mean, growing up, what was that like, and the pressure to be this great, great athlete? I mean, and how different was your life than maybe other youth that you were around?
First off, I have to comment about Junior Seau.
Yes.
And what an honor and a privilege it was to play with that man. Back in the day when we met in high school, because we were in the same area in Southern California. He was a quarterback at Oceanside High School, mm-hmm. and I was a quarterback. I had left Modern Day and went to Capistrano Valley, and we played a few times in 7-on-7. And then when I went to USC, he was there, and he was the greatest defensive player I've ever played with, and even a better human. His spirit was so vibrant and so alive, and he was so much fun to play. And that's what really great players do, is they just lift everybody up. And to it was so heartbreaking the way Junior went out.
Yeah.
And that is it's reality in our game of football today, is that with the CTE, it is shortening players' lives. And I have lost. And sorry to get heavy so early, guys.
But no, you're good. You're fine, good.
I've lost countless teammates to this thing. And what the game is trying to do is change the rules, and I'm all for that, trying to make it safer. However, the game of football is violent, and it always will be. And you can change the rules, but still you are going to suffer head trauma and head injuries.
That's right.
And so what can we do is now I'm a parent today, and what I've done is I just didn't allow my son to play tackle football. And do you think he wanted to?
Absolutely.
Sure. At 8 years old, he's coming to be dad. I want to put the gear on and play. And I told him that is not negotiable. He played flag, and I am a huge fan of flag football, which is something I'm doing here in this beautiful state of Hawaii where I've moved. Is I'm starting a flag football league for kids because you can get so much fundamentals and the skill positions, honing these skills and getting kids fired up about the game of football without even putting a helmet on. Because if we think that we're going to put – it's a safe – because of the rule change and we're going to put helmets on children where their brains are not developed, encourage them to run full speed into each other. That is insane, gentlemen.
Yeah.
It totally is. And I love your passion for that. And, you know, I saw the movie. I don't know how accurate the movie is, but it seemed to be a good movie, CT, about concussion. It was called Concussion with Will Smith.
Right.
And they're just trying to bring awareness of the CTE. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And it's important that we talk about these issues. And that's the thing that we're growing as a society where we can bring things into the light. And one of these things is being honest and open about the damage that is being done with the game of football. And let's talk about it. It's a great game. It's
it
changed my life. And what changed it was the relationships that I made playing this game and the great people that I got to play with and the places I got to go. So I am a huge fan of the game. However, there's a dark side to it, and let's bring it to light by talking about it.
I love it. Yeah. And that, I think one of the dark sides to football, Todd, is the pressure that parents are putting on youth. And, you know, and the fourth, I mean, I've seen it. I've been a coach for 20 years. That's why I'm called coach, because I've vested 20 years of my life into coaching football, starting with youth and also going into high school football. And, Todd, you'll know Orange County area. I was up there in Santa Ana, just a youth football game. Just it was Tustin and Santa Ana, and I was coaching just youth football, just having a good time, wanting to have fun, right? And riot breaks out. You know, I got kids putting rocks in their socks and smacking each other with. I mean, the pressures that go along with, especially if the parents want their athlete to be the greatest,
right?
And they think they're going to be the greatest. And, for you, there was a lot of pressure there growing up, wasn't there?
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I have a different perspective, and it's just because of my experience. And I don't agree with any of that. I have my kids involved in team sports for one thing, to learn about the game of life. It's kind of... It's a secret way, because that at the time I didn't know what I was learning when I was playing. I thought I was playing football. In actuality, I was learning how to live with other people in a small community, work together, and that's life.
Yeah,
and you learn discipline. You learn I need to show up because other people are counting on me. And without these fundamentals and principles. It's difficult to navigate through this thing called life without team sports. And I love it. It doesn't even matter. With my son, Barron, I didn't care what he played. I was trying to redirect him from football his whole life. And he just wasn't having it. I think it's in the genes. And after a few years, I went, you know what? This is what he wants to do. I'm going to support it. And now he's going to be a freshman this year, and I said, you're not playing this tackle football until your freshman year, and now it's here.
Wow.
And so do I have fear? 100%. But it's out of my hands, and I believe that he's going to have his own experience with it. Mine was mine, and that was my biggest reason for moving him to a small community in a remote place in Hawaii.
Right.
To just get him out of that Orange County element that the values there didn't line up with mine. And so I get to be in a community that it's about family. It's not about trying to create the next frickin' NFL or NBA player. It's about having fun. And that's really what it's about. Having fun and learning these skills, like what I mentioned about honesty and showing up and being responsible and looking out for your teammate. That's just gold. And I don't know where you find that other than team sports.
No doubt. No doubt. You sound like a coach talking there, Todd.
For a second.
Yeah. Coach speak. Coach speak. And I like it because – go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
The thing is, I've had some amazing teachers, and I call them teachers because I've also had some coaches that were very militaristic. Mm-hmm. And just because we were – taught one way or we were brought up one way doesn't mean that's the way. And I understand that when we're young, we end up doing what was done to us. And that's it was very scary to me. And now being a parent, I reevaluated everything. I didn't want to just pass on lies to my kids. And that's the only one thing that I have done, because I don't know how to be a parent, but I know how to be loving. And I know what my truth is. And I started to just regurgitate things that were taught and told to me. And I had to go, hold on here. Do I really believe this? And with coaches, there's a lot that are set in their ways. And they think because of it was done this way and we need to do it this way. That is just completely untrue. Do I need to yell at somebody to get their attention? I don't think so. I think there's just other ways to do it. And I get to be a teacher today, and I'm teaching kids the fundamentals of sport. And without fundamentals, my experience is then you can't go out and let go of the mind and really enjoy the game. And how do you get good at fundamentals? Putting in the time, guys. Mm-hmm. And that element right there is one that I think we've gotten away from, in the fact of there's no shortcuts. And a lot of kids just sit on Sundays and see this grand, polished biz organization called the NFL and think that guys just wind up there.
Right.
They do not realize the work and the dedication that these men have put in their entire lives to get to have this moment. And people look at them like they're lucky. Well, I don't know if luck is involved in this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a believer in things being lucky. You know, I think that everybody has been given certain talents to be able to excel in.
Absolutely.
And, you know, but you know.
Gifts, Greg.
Yeah.
I've been given these gifts.
Gifts,
and
yes.
So my responsibility, if I have these God-given gifts, is to work on them and then share them.
Yes, and that's and if we don't do that, shame on us. Yeah. You know, because you know I have, you know, and talent doesn't get you anywhere without effort. I mean, if you,
right.
You know, I mean, you know, and I've seen a lot of talented kids that are standing on my sidelines, and the kids that have exerted the effort, and then now if you take effort and you take talent and combine the
Woo.
Two, ooh boy, now you have greatness.
Yep.
And that's,
yep.
Todd, when I watched you play college football, and even in your first game with the Raiders.
But isn't that fun to watch when you have that magical recipe of talent?
It's incredible.
And yes, and that's why, guys, we're fans. And I really, of course, I love the Raiders, and I love the Raider Nation and the following. It is super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
However, people, when they watch games with me, they're like, who the heck are you rooting for? And I say, the offense. I can't
the offense, yeah.
doesn't matter who's playing. I'm just rooting for the team that has the ball. And it's kind of crazy, but obviously when you look at my history. But I'm just really a fan of the player, no matter what sport. And how about this player? We're talking about basketball because it's that time of year, and I love basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen a talent like Ja Morant. This kid or this young man is exceptional.
He is.
and I tune in to watch him.
I did
and,
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I moved here, Todd, a couple, 2-3 years ago, and he was with Memphis, I recorded every game. And this is a big stretch, but still I'm going to say it anyway, is when I watched him play and still watch him play, his movements and abilities can remind me a lot of Kobe Bryant. And I know that's a big comparison too. And it's incredible to watch him play. And, you know, now, Todd, and this is kind of what I wanted to get into is, you know, Ja now is going through some things, and I'm not close enough to these situations. I only see the videos, of wielding guns and things like that, and strip clubs, and then also just in cars, and other incidents that have happened. You know, supposedly a kid getting beaten up playing basketball, pick up basketball at his home, you know, and all these incidents, and it just feels like to me that Ja's a little bit out of control. Not a little bit. I mean, he's already been suspended once. He's probably going to be suspended again. And I'm wondering if the love of basketball is there. And that's what I wanted to ask you. We're going to take a short break, Todd. But what I want to ask you when we come back is when did that love that I'm hearing from you for the sport, and when did all of that start to change for you to where you realize, you know what, I don't want to be a quarterback in the NFL. I don't want to do this anymore. And then, of course, you know, the struggles that you had with addiction and what that came from and what spurred that on, because I think you can help others understand maybe to not go the wrong way. And I'm concerned about Ja Morant. I'm not concerned. I mean, who knows what else is going on in his world. But you mentioned a young athlete that's been great all his life. And, you know, now does he even really want to play basketball? We don't know. We don't know what's going on. But on the other side, Todd, we'd like to talk about some of those other things. And then also we definitely want to get to what you are doing these days. And I know you're an artist too, so I want to talk about that too. I looked at all the paintings that you have on your website. So we'll talk to you just on the other side if you don't mind. Sounds good?
Sounds good.
All right.
You're listening to The League Sports Talk Show on 94.9 The Fan and The Fan app.
Welcome back. Good morning to you out there. And yep, I'm here. I made it here, even though a bird flew in my garage and I got him out of there because I figured if Jen, the wife, walked out and there was a bird in the garage dead, I'd be in trouble. So I saved a bird this morning. I got run flats on my car, even though it got a flat, it worked. Mm-hmm. I got here right at 7:00. So I'm excited all of you have joined in with us. And we have a great special guest, Todd Marinovich, former USC quarterback and Los Angeles Raider first-round draft pick. And, Todd, welcome back in. I know it's still early out there in Hawaii.
Yes, it is. And I was listening to some of your guys' commercial, and what a joy to hear Dan Patrick. I'm a fan of Dan's, man. He's had me on over the years, and he's treated me like a friend. He didn't judge and criticize and spoke to me like a human being, and I appreciate Dan.
He's amazing. Yeah, listen to him every morning. Learned a lot from him. And, you know, I want to throw this at you. So, you know, you really, if I say these things, you know, any kid would say dream scenario, modern day and Capistrano Valley and then to USC, you know, starting quarterback at USC, leads USC to a Rose Bowl win. I mean, before you chose USC, I was like, please don't let him go to USC because I'm a UCLA fan. I want him to go to Oregon or go to Oregon State, you know.
Oregon
go to somebody that's not good. And
I almost went to Stanford, guys. I was I love being a quarterback. USC wasn't, you know, the choice of quarterbacks when I was in high school.
Right.
And when I was playing at Modern Day, I was being recruited by Stanford since my freshman year, and they put and Jack Elway, John's dad, was the coach at the time, and boy, they put the full court press on me for 4 years.
Wow!
And really had a great recruiting trip up there. Ed McCaffrey, a Christian dad, was my host.
Wow.
What an athlete.
Wow.
Yes, and they really appealed to my artistic side. And they had a great – I mean, Stanford is a – it speaks for itself academically.
It does.
And,
it does.
That's one of my proudest moments is being accepted to the University of Stanford. And I think it had something to do with my – athletic ability more than my cognitive.
Oh boy. But you know, you think about everything you're talking about right now. Again, any football player, not just a position player, but a player that's played the sport all his youth years and all of that stuff. I mean, I say all those things, and I wrote in my notes just a dream, right? But not a dream, and the dream became really a nightmare. What happened? What, you know, what was it when drugs came into the picture and alcohol and things like that? I mean, it happens to everybody. Nobody's judging anybody, but there was something deep that obviously caused you to turn to that. Share with us what that looked like, Todd.
Well, here's a quick story to put it in perspective. I was driving from Manhattan Beach to El Segundo, where the Raiders practice facility was. And I was listening to a morning show on the radio, late for practice, like always. And because I just couldn't get there on time because of my off-the-field activity. I was busy the night before. So I'm driving to work, and they have a call-in and a survey around L.A. Which athlete in L.A. do you want to be? And Magic Johnson was number one prior to him coming out with his HIV diagnosis. And then I was second. And I absolutely was floored. I was like, if anybody knew how I felt and what it was like, they would not want to be me.
Wow.
It was a place where I felt alone. I felt like a fraud, and it was part of the job being an NFL quarterback. People are sticking microphones in front of my face daily, and I couldn't be honest. I had to protect this dirty little secret that I couldn't function in this world without changing the way I felt. And there's no shame anymore behind that, because that was just my tool to survive. I just wasn't equipped with the skills and the spirituality that it takes in the work that I've experienced today then. And how could I have? So when I look at young athletes and that all this pressure and they're thrown onto this stage, it is so unfair, because what do? We put them up there and then we criticize every move they make, just like Ja. I mean, really, this to me, I don't know anything about his situation, only from what you told me, Greg. And really, what is that? It's a cry for help. What can we do to help him if he wants it? And that's the big question. And did I want it back then? Absolutely not. I had to find my way through my own errors, and that's what life is. Yeah. And let's let people fail, and then let's pick them up again. They do not need us to dogpile and gang tackle them in their moments of despair.
But they do, and that's honestly,
right.
You know, and think with me, Todd, because the errors are so different. We've got about 6-7 minutes left, so I could spend the next 2 hours talking to you. But think about what parents. I blame parents because I've seen it firsthand. Mm-hmm. I mean, Todd, you're getting ready to go into this coaching, and I know you coached before. I think you coached quarterbacks for Los Angeles Avengers back in the day in the Arena League, but you're starting to go into coaching, and I have parents that would come meet me in my office, guys, and they would say, little Johnny, he's going to be your running back.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple practices in, little Johnny's not the running back, and they're back. The parents are back in my office and say, why aren't you putting Matt running back? And I'm like, because I'm going to put players in the best position to succeed and do well, not for failure. And little Johnny is not a running back yet, and you're just going to have to accept that. And they won't. I mean, to the point of trying to come to blows with coaches, and it's embarrassing. And the pressures that we put on by the stars, you know, he's a 3-star. Well, he's a 3.5-star. Well, okay. Well, you know, how do you get to a 5-star, 4-star? How do you get to 4.5-star? And then the big deal with the recruiting and which team are you going to go to? Oh, now I'm getting out. I mean, Todd, the pressure that back then was immense, and it was probably a struggle internalized more than anything else because you didn't have really the internet, and you did have microphones in your face. But now think about the difference now of all the internet and social media and these kids, these young teenagers with Twitter accounts and Facebook and Instagram. And I mean, Todd, how different it is it now today? And how, with your 13-year-old son, how are you going to protect him? How can you protect a child, a youth, from things like this?
Well, there are so many topics that you just hit right there. Where do I begin? And really the first one that I heard was coaches. And what I have found, and I know you've seen it, is just unqualified coaches or teachers. And just because they have an interest and they watch it on Sundays doesn't mean they're qualified for parents to turn their kids over to them and say, teach them. That's the first we need to supervise the coaches that are going on. And then you bring up parents. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
We could talk about this topic forever.
Yeah.
And what I'm experiencing where I live, how great is this? You being a coach. I go to these players when they come out and I talk with them about what they don't even know what position. They don't care what position. They just want to be on the field.
Right.
And as a coach, I'm just like, this is what you want. You just want enthusiasm. Yeah. You don't want baggage of somebody on the sidelines telling me who's playing where. And I don't get that. You know why? Because I've experienced it and I've done it.
Yeah.
And they seem to respect that.
Oh, man.
And so this is a new field that I'm getting into, and it's a passion. And I think, guys, I have found my calling.
I think you have too, man. Yeah. We actually know you have. And, you know, one thing I'll give you to tell your parents when you have your first parents' meeting is coaches coach, players play, and parents cheer. So you just – that's – parents, that's your job. If you got any other issues – don't talk to me because I coach. Cheer. Yeah. So I'd set the standard. You know, setting expectations is very important for a coach, not only with the players but with the parents. But listen, you sound amazing. I had prayed for you as you were going through the things you were going through, and you sound like you're going down the right direction. And I'm so excited for you. My son, Daniel, is so excited for you as well. You're his favorite player that ever came out of USC. He's a major USC fan. And to hear your voice and the passion that you have now is incredible. And I was thinking about this, that it was 2:15 when we started this interview, 2:15 a.m., and they always say there's nothing good that ever happens after midnight.
Yes.
This is a good, Todd. This is a very, very good
It really is.
I mean, I've got a few minutes left, but Todd, I'll tell you. So what do you got going on these days? You're coaching. I challenge people to go to your website for your artwork, which is just absolutely spectacular. But what else you got going on that you're working on these days?
Well, I got to touch because you mentioned it, and it's prayer. And I want to thank anybody out there that has prayed for me over the years, because I know there's a lot, and there's people that I don't even know that have. And I truly believe with all of me, that is the reason why I'm still here. Because you know what? My behavior over the years, there's no reason on earth I should be still on earth. And so I am so grateful to those that have felt the need to reach out in prayer. And prayer is so powerful. If anybody hears anything that I've ever said on this show today, is that prayer has changed my life. And I do it as much as possible, because I'll tell you what, I'm a fan of results. And I continue. And it's not that I know what this power is that I am praying to, because I don't think the human mind can wrap around the infinite. However, I see its effects, and I see it on a daily basis in this program that I'm in, that there are miraculous results going on in today. So if people like to say that the miracles of the Bible aren't in today's world, well, I disagree.
I disagree too.
Guys, you're talking to one, and it has changed. It has revolutionized my being, and it has changed my views on how I see life. And for one, this addiction thing that I've suffered from many years, it's really about selfishness. And today I get to get out of me and get into somebody else. And you know what? The great spiritual leaders and teachers and the carpenter have said, there's the magic. There is the magic to life, is when I get out of me and my focus is on helping my neighbor, or loving my neighbor, or treating others like I want to be treated, all that great stuff, that's it.
I love it, man.
It's so simple. And guys, I want to complicate things till we're blue in the face.
Right.
In reality, I keep it simple, and I wake up in the morning and say, God, put me where you want me, and let me be a service.
I love it. Hey, Todd, I can hear you smiling through the microphone. I want to challenge you with one thing as we leave you there in Hawaii. I want to challenge you to go out and get on as many radio talk shows as you possibly can to share what you've shared with us today.
Yep.
It's an incredible, amazing, to-be-continued story. I'm so excited. I need to get out there, jump over there to Hawaii for a little bit. We can go surf and hang out and talk football. But I'm so excited for you and your future and your son's future and everybody in the world who you're going to impact. And I challenge you to continue to take steps to get your voice out there and share. We love you.
Thank you.
You're a friend of the show.
Absolutely.
And so excited for you.
Go Raiders. One more thing, guys.
Open invitation here on the League Sports Talk Show.
That's
absolutely
right.
I appreciate it. When you said that, you know what I got?
Okay.
I got chills. And in Hawaii, they call it chicken skin. They call it goosebumps, but what I call it's really God bumps. And I don't get this chill on a lie ever.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said that to me, and then chills rocketed up and down my spine, I knew what you said was true. So you know what? I am going to go out there and be heard.
I want it. I want it for you. I'll help you. Yes. I'll do anything I can. And I love you. We love you. You are a friend of the shows. You are welcome anytime. And I don't know how to say goodbye in Hawaiian, but you probably
aloha.
Do. Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay. That's
go,
pretty easy.
Guys.
I do
aloha.
Know that. All I do is I think about food. But, hey, we are the League Sports Talk Show. We'll talk to you soon. And, hey, guys, we are the sport. Hey, I see you out there. I see everybody out there. I hope you enjoyed this show. You can go to Spotify and listen to it again if you want. I'd recommend it. There was a lot of nuggets in there, a lot of meat on that bone, but I see you out there. We are the League Sports Talk Show, sponsored by Nashville Toyota North.